Well, good evening. Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story. Hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion and delusion, that will determine what the future will bring. And I need to remind you the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views, and the views of our guest, who this evening is Pastor Chuck Crismeyer. Now, for those who don't know Chuck, he actually was a lawyer, a successful lawyer, who had practiced law for many years. And then, about 1992, why God called him out of the legal profession and got him into divinity school, and then into talk radio, where he has an hour-a-day talk radio program where he reaches people all across America, really all across the world, through the miracle of Internet, with a message really getting back to what the original message of the gospel really was, and, of course, a warning the American people what lies ahead if there's not true repentance on the part of our people. And so it's with a great deal of pleasure that I welcome to our program this evening Pastor Chuck Crismeyer. Thanks very much for being with us again.
Well, Stan, it's always a great pleasure.
Well, of course, Chuck has written a number of books, several books that we do carry here, and certainly you can actually hear his programs on his website or on Global Star Channel 4, where his programs are there, and my programs, and Pastor Butch Paws, Joyce Riley, and we have a 24-hour-a-day feed up on the Telstar 5, but you can actually listen to that on the Internet. But we wanted to talk, and I've had Chuck on my other two programs, other two networks, but I wanted to talk this evening really about what's going on in our society and the spiritual component to everything that is there. So I'm going to let Chuck just pick this up. He mentioned last time we talked about having gone to schools this last week, and a number of occasions having the opportunity to talk to the students there about what had happened at Virginia Tech. And, you know, the response of the students there, I think, was even a little startling to Pastor Crismeyer. So why don't you tell the story?
Well, Stan, indeed it is a bit startling. However, this is the fourth year in a row that I have been given this amazing opportunity to speak to the students at Virginia Commonwealth University, which has a matriculation of somewhere in the range of 28,000 students. And so it's about close to the same size as Virginia Tech, and not all that far away. Interestingly, I was given the opportunity to speak to several world religions classes, as I have for the past 4 years. And what has astounded me and has been fairly consistent over those 4 years is that there is hardly even a vestige of the Christian faith remaining in the mind and heart of our young people under the age of, say, 25 or even 30. They have not a clue. Their understanding of the Christian faith is so far removed from anything that would have been understood 50 years ago in this country that it's almost like they're living on another planet. And so when you look at this situation, you realize how far we have drifted and how profoundly at risk our country is, both morally and spiritually.
And, of course, this did not happen by accident, part of a long-range plan to remove God from the hearts and minds and souls of the youth of America. Well, why don't you go ahead and pick the story up there?
Well, Stan, this very day, I received a contact concerning 4-H clubs in our area. And there was a demand that a particular 4-H club no longer engage in prayer and no longer mention the word God or Jesus on their website. And this is a local club that is composed of almost entirely professing Christian young people. And now they've been together for 16 years under the same charter. And now under the new PC police, politically correct mechanisms designed to force everyone into the current multicultural and religious pluralistic mindset, they're attempting to either shut down this highly successful chapter of 4-H clubs or compel them to remove any vestige of God from their club. And this is what's happening everywhere. There is an effort to shut down any remote references to God in the public square, and to basically remove Christianity from public life in any way whatsoever. Now, when you combine that with the experience that I've had the last 4 years speaking at Virginia Commonwealth University, you very quickly discover that what we take for granted, or what many of us take for granted as common to this country, that is, at least some basic understanding of the Christian faith, some basic conviction that at the very root of our nation and its laws and its understanding is that it's deeply rooted in the Christian faith and also in the Bible. But those kinds of understandings no longer are true from the way people look at things, because the reality is they do not see things that way. They do not see the Bible as carrying authority in any way whatsoever. It's just one among many books and one among many religions.
Hold that thought for just a moment here. We'll be right back here. Well, this is Dr. Stan and Pastor Chris Meyer saying this is his experience, not only in the schools that he speaks in, and of course these are college students, but in the fact that a local 4-H club in his area, which is predominantly made up of Christians, has now been told that they have to remove any reference to God or to Christ from their meetings. This is just no longer acceptable. And, you know, that what we're seeing is the transformation of our society. And I don't believe this is by accident. I believe it's by design. I believe there is a master plan to bring about a one-world government, a one-world religion, and a one-world leader. Now, Cindy, this is happening. It's happened very slowly. But little bit by little bit, there's been a progressive erosion of the belief in God. And it really, I think, is much more prevalent among those in higher education. Certainly, the longer you are in the public educational system, the more opportunity they have to destroy your faith.
Well, Stan, that is true. Unfortunately, however, this very same spirit now has crept into our churches. And I'm not just talking about liberal churches. I'm just not talking about mainline churches. I'm talking about even evangelical churches. There has been such a profound drift away from the verities of the Scripture that now, in the name of seeker sensitiveness and now the new emerging church movement, we are finding that the church is becoming just like the world in order to win the world to the church. And the reality is that the world has won the church to the world, and it's like almost a farcical game that's being played, And the ultimate reality of it is the church is making itself, in the pursuit of relevance, the church is making itself virtually irrelevant in our society. What can we hope for when the lighthouse of the nation, that is the church, has allowed its own light to be dimmed so greatly that it virtually cannot be seen? Jesus spoke to this. He said, if the light that is in you be darkness, how great is that darkness?
Well, I certainly concur. And one of the things that really disturbs me is what's happening to the church today as they seem to change the music and the message of our church. And the music sounds many times more like a rock band, or maybe for the older people, why they'll play some of the traditional hymns. But the young people want the exciting, stimulating rock music, and so we're going to give it to them because that's what they want. And, of course, then forgo the powerful message of the traditional hymns. And, of course, the very nature of God seems to have changed. At one time, God was a God of love, but he was a God of justice and judgment. And, yes, there was even an element of wrath. And there was certainly the preaching that, when a nation turns against God, why God turns against that nation and brings judgment on it. But we don't hear that message preached very much anymore, do we?
No, we certainly don't. And the reason, Stan, is because it's all about marketing. The market now has overtaken the master, and the master has to bow to the market. Marketing is everything. Christian publishing, Christian music industry, Christian broadcasting, all of them have capitulated to the market. And now, for instance, the cross and the message of the cross has virtually been eliminated from almost the entire evangelical economy. The Christian publishers do not want to publish anything related to the cross. The Christian music industry doesn't want to publish anything related to the cross. And yet we used to sing that song, "So I'll Cherish the Old Rugged Cross." But we don't cherish the old rugged cross anymore. The closest we get to it is a gold or brass chain around our necks. But the reality is that the cross is not only not cherished in the church, its very essence is rejected by Christian people. We used to say that to be crucified with Christ was the essence of living the Christian faith. Today, our mantra is, "I'll do it my way." And so when you find that the very institution, the very group of people that was to provide light to the nation, that was to provide the very moral and spiritual foundation and root in the gospel or good news of Jesus Christ, has virtually abandoned it in its pursuit of artificial relevance and acceptance in the culture, what else do we have left?
Well,
there is no more anchor for our soul.
Well, of course, success seems to be the important thing as far as church and growth and certainly getting a lot of people to come and be entertained, but never convicted. This is the thing. And how often do you go to church today and come away with tears in your eyes where you've really been touched and touched deeply? Certainly, I notice this in Christian bookstores. I mean, there are a few of them that still keep the traditional Christian books and look very, very carefully at what they put on their shelves, but so many of the Christian bookstores just put anything up there that professes to have a Christian message, and some that even don't have a Christian message. Many of our Christian bookstores carry large numbers of New Age books, and the more conservative traditional Christian books, well, they don't sell very well, so we won't bother to put them out, and we won't bother to sell them, and, well, we'll order them if you really want them, but... And little by little, they've just changed the whole concept of Christianity in America. I really believe a lot of this certainly goes back to our seminaries, where they've changed even the teaching in our seminaries. And many of our ministers, I've been told, don't believe in hell anymore. They don't believe in eternal punishment. everything has changed, and yet God hasn't changed.
We know that God hasn't changed, but the God that's being presented is a different God than the God that has been understood since the birth of this nation, and certainly also since the days of the New Testament and going all the way back to the days of Moses in the Old Testament and Abraham. God says in his own word, I change not. The scripture says Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. But now we're too smart for our own britches. And I think there was a very revealing thing that took place back in the days of Bush 1. You may recall when America went into Iraq under we were over in the Middle East under Bush 1.
Right, that was Desert Storm.
Desert Storm, yes. And Americans were flooding back to church. And there was a great deal of euphoria, a great deal of patriotism and the yellow ribbons everywhere, but people were flooding back to church. And Time Magazine did a feature article on this. The front cover featured a cross, and next to the cross it said, "The Generation That Forgot God." You open the magazine, it's a double-page spread. And by the way, this was on April 5th, 1993. You open the magazine, and it's talking about how Americans were going back, flooding back to church, and searching for churches. And they said church would never again be the same. Now, here was Time Magazine's insight. The reason the church would not be the same again in America is because Americans were searching for a custom-made God. One made in their own image. I don't think there's been a more insightful comment made by anyone in this country than that in the last 15 years. It's almost as if God was speaking to the church through the mouth of a donkey, i.e. Time Magazine, to try to get his message through, because anymore, God can't get his message through the pastor's mouth. They're too busy pandering to the people and trying to get a building fund going, and so they're going to tell the people what they want to hear to keep the bucks flowing, and truth is being trampled in the meantime and marketed to the highest bidder.
And I know I've been in churches, you know, where everything is, of course, we're going to have the building fund, now we're just going to go out and borrow the money like everybody else does, and then we hope we're going to have money to pay it back. The only trouble with that is that when you got a large enough debt, why, you have to be nice to everybody, and you can't offend anybody, and you certainly can't convict anybody because they might stop coming to church. So we've got to water down the gospel. We've got to make it something that just is appealing to people on the right, and the left, and the middle, and everybody's got to be there, and we've got to entertain them. I mean, entertainment is so vitally important so that people will keep coming back.
But well, it's true, and then we lament that we see these terrible events taking place with ever greater frequency, such as what happened at Virginia Tech. And certainly, we mourn the death of 32 students and their faculty members, but the reality is that these kinds of things are happening with ever increasing frequency because we stripped out the moral and spiritual foundations of the land. It's a very frightening world that's coming, and we need to take seriously God's call of repentance at such a time as this.
Well, of course, but what we're doing is certainly looking for it's somebody else's fault. It's never the church's fault. It's, you know, well, maybe if we had more gun laws, that would be a solution. Or maybe if we did something about all those bad videos. But this is a battle for the hearts of men. The souls of men, and we're losing that battle. Well, our guest is Pastor Chuck Crismeyer, and certainly I agree with what you're saying. Go right ahead.
Well, Stan, what particularly troubles me is that all of these things are not happening in a vacuum. They're happening in a much bigger picture. You've alluded to one world government, one world religion, and so on. But that in itself is part of the greater picture. And the greater picture is the soon return of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the second coming of Jesus Christ. And as we look at the dramatic developments in internationally, we look at the confluence of events. It's as if the great tributaries of history now are all surging into coming together in one surging maelstrom heading toward the second coming of Jesus Christ. You almost have to be blind in one eye and can't see out of the other not to come to that conclusion. I think any leader that is carefully looking at the developments is coming to that conclusion. Just this last week, I was interviewing a gentleman, Michael Oren, who is a Jewish gentleman. He was in Jerusalem, and of course I was in Richmond, Virginia, where we air our program from. And we were talking about his book called Power, Faith, and Fantasy, The Role of the United States in the Middle East in 1776 to the present. And a very, very articulate gentleman, not a Christian believer, but a practicing Jew. And as we chatted, he began to sense that I really had a handle on what was going on in the Middle East and around the world, much more so than what he expected. So he really opened up to me a great deal. At the bottom of the hour, during a three-minute break, he confided in me, he says, "Chuck, I have to tell you, as I sit here in Jerusalem," he said, "it's as if I can literally feel the ground trembling under my feet." He said, "anybody that cannot sense this just doesn't know what's going on." He said, "the entire world is shaking. The leaders are shaking." He said, "the leaders here in Israel are absolutely scared out of their minds. They're getting ready to give up God-deeded land for peace. Just about anything. Ehud Olmert, the prime minister of Israel, is frantic. He's virtually frantic to get the opportunity to sit down with his Arab neighbors and give up the land that God deeded to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob." I had on my radio program, I interviewed this gentleman from the floor of the National Religious Broadcasters Convention in mid-February, Stan. And he was a member of the Knesset there, the Israeli parliament. And as I chatted with him, he was telling me how they were prepared to give up the West Bank and to give up the Golan Heights and to basically give up whatever they had to give up in order to get this elusive promise of peace. And I said, "Sir, why would you do such a thing? You know that they're dedicated to your destruction. You know that they have not put Israel on any of
the map." Hold that thought right there, please. We'll be back in just a moment here. Well, this is Dr. Stan and Pastor Chris Meyer saying that he was interviewing a gentleman from the Knesset, a member of the Knesset in mid-February, who was saying that the Jewish government is willing to give up anything in return for the promise of peace. They're willing to give up the Golan Heights. They're willing to give up Judea and Samaria. They're willing to pull back from the settlement. They're willing to give up anything with this hope of some sort of a peaceful settlement. And, of course, Pastor Chris Meyer was saying, but you know that there's nothing, no concession you can make that will bring peace. I mean, the Arabs are intent upon your destruction. And you can give them everything they ask for, and they'll ask for more because they have one objective, and that is to drive the Jews out of the Holy Land. So pick up the story there.
Well, Stan, what happened was absolutely spellbinding for those who were listening. People were craning their necks, crowding in on the floor the National Religious Broadcasters Convention to hear this amazing interview. They had never, ever, and this was a combination of both Christians and Jewish people, they had never, ever heard anyone come out so blatantly to admit the current condition there in Israel and what they were prepared to do. It was like they were going to give up all the marbles without even a fight. And so I responded to this member of the Knesset, and I said, "Sir, it sounds like deja vu all over again. I said, "I remember a situation just like this in the Old Testament when Joshua was going to lead the children of Israel into the Promised Land, and you all said there were giants in the land. And you said, yes, it's a land flowing with milk and honey. Yes, it's just like God said it was, but we're not able to go in and take the land, even though God's given it to us, because of the giants in the land." I said, "Now you're seeing giants again. You're seeing the giants of the Arab nations. You're seeing all of these people, and why would you do this? Have you completely lost your courage? Don't you have any trust in God, the God that has chosen you to be his people?" And his response was, he became very, very sheepish, Stan. And again, this was shocking to everyone that was listening. And he just hung his head and he says, "Well, we have to do it because this is the only way we have any hope for peace."
But you see, Chuck, the problem is that from a purely earthly point of view, there is no way that Israel can survive. I mean, certainly with the massive military power that is aligned against them.
Well, that's true.
And from purely a secular point of view, you can understand how we'd feel that way. But if you believe in God and you were Jewish, why, you would realize that no matter what happens, God is not, there may be terrible suffering, there may be terrible loss of life, but God is not going to allow Israel to be totally destroyed. I mean, there will be a remnant. They have an obligation. And if they would stand up as they have traditionally in the past, they would not have as much to fear. It is because they did not, you know, actually they backed down during the Lebanon War recently. And had they persisted, had they simply told Condoleezza Rice and Javier Solana, who told them to stop, "We're going to finish this job, we're going to get rid of Hezbollah, we're going to, of course, free Lebanon from this oppression that is there disrupting their country," why, there would not be this feeling. But, of course, they've, time and time again, they've snatched, you know, defeat out of the jaws of victory. It's because their leadership really don't believe in God any longer.
Well, that's true. 70% of their population is crassly secular. But you know what, Stan? We are standing in almost exactly the same shoes as Israel today. Israel is facing what they're calling an existential battle. In other words, their very existence is on the line. The entire world is coming against Israel, just as the prophet Zechariah foretold it would. And yet, the entire world is coming against America, too.
No question at all.
We're seeing it happen. And notice this. Just as Israel is at its weakest point, moral and spiritually, just as the rest of the world is coming against her, so America now is at her weakest point, morally and spiritually, just as the world is coming against her. It's like Israel, like America, and we need to talk more about that.
All right, fine. And I think if you look at and see what's happening to the United States, and you look at logically, I mean, why did we really go into Afghanistan? Why did we really go into Iraq? Why is there a tremendous pressure to attack Iran? None of this makes any logical sense. And if it doesn't make any logical sense, then there has to be another explanation. And that's what we're missing. We're missing the spiritual aspect of what's going on, its implications for America, for the world. We'll be back in just a moment with Pastor Chuck Chrismeyer. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and you pick up the story there, Chuck.
Dan, we are also at an existential moment here in the United States of America, I fear. But we are so headlong in pursuit of personal peace and affluence and in the pursuit of happiness that we are blinded to the reality of our own potential demise. Our enemies are rising up against us fast and furious. We are morally and spiritually in an extremely weakened condition, just as ancient Rome was as the barbarians came in and flooded in. And Rome was not able, it did not have the moral and spiritual strength to resist the barbarian invasion, and Rome fell as a result. Now, some people would say, well, what is the role of America in end-time prophecy? Where does America fit in the end of the age? Well, there's nothing specifically in the Bible that mentions America. America did not exist at the time of either the writing of the New Testament or the Old Testament. However, there is a very interesting prophecy in Isaiah chapter 18. This is the only prophecy that I can recall in the scriptures that does not specifically mention the name of the city or nation that it's referring to. It says, "Woe to the land shadowing with wings, whose land the rivers have spoiled." It's talking about an extremely powerful nation, a great nation, and we know that because it says, "When this nation lifts up an ensign and blows the trumpet, the entire world will take notice." Now, I believe that very likely that prophecy, Stan, is referring to the United States of America. We didn't exist at the time that that was written, so it couldn't have given the name of the nation or city. But we match the description set forth in that prophecy. And the nation that is mentioned there, that great nation, is going to be seriously judged by God. God is going to allow massive destruction to come upon that nation at the time of its prime. Its sprigs are going to be pruned like a gardener would severely prune a tree or a bush. And the scripture says that out of that judgment, God will bring a small remnant that will be pure and holy.
Hold that thought. We'll be back in just a moment here. Well, this is Dr. Stan and Pastor Chris Meyer. Was simply referring to asking the question, of course, what about America? There is no mention of the United States in prophecy. And, of course, we're told, you know, the end times approach, there will be a great falling away from the faith, and that comes from Thessalonians 2, 2 Thessalonians, the second chapter. And certainly we're seeing, I believe, a great falling away. And then, of course, there's a passage in Isaiah that refers to this great nation that is going to come under tremendous judgment, tremendous turmoil here, certainly in the latter days. So, anyway, pick up the story there, Chuck.
Stan, the reality is that our times do match those latter-day times that are described. They match them point for point. And we are seeing, let me just give you and your listeners a little illustration here. When I was still practicing law, and I've been away from the practice of law now for 13 years, but when I was still practicing law, about 20 years ago, I began a little file in one of my file drawers in my law office called Prophecy in the Making. And every once in a while, when I found an article, a newspaper article or a magazine article or something, that seemed to relate to end-time prophecy, fulfillment of end-time prophecy, I would drop the article in there. Well, I found that I was able to generally put something in there maybe every few months. Something seems significant. Now, Stan, there is such an overwhelming flood of this information that I'm getting 30 and 40 articles a day. and they're flooding in from all over the world. It is absolutely astounding what is happening. Let me just mention, for as a point of, for instance, Russia. Who would have ever believed that Russia would be in such a massive resurgence as it is at this very moment? Just 2 or 3 years ago, the leaders of the United States of America were saying that Russia was completely out of the picture. It was just gone as a world power, and had met its demise. It was nothing more than a glorified third world nation, and we had no further concern about Russia. Nothing could be further from the truth. In fact, just 2 weeks ago, Vladimir Putin came out and boldly declared he expected to be considered, that Russia was to be considered internationally on a par with the United States of America. Now, how could he do that? Where is this new boldness coming from? In the last 6 months, he has virtually choreographed a third of the entire world into a new Russian camp. It's not called the Soviet Union anymore, but it's a Russian military and a political camp. How was he able to do that? How was he able to choreograph the entire Islamic world, third world nations, and so on, into this camp in just 6 months? The answer is petrodollars. Russia is the number two producer of oil and exporter of oil in the world, and the number one producer and exporter of natural gas. Russia now virtually has all of Eastern Europe over a barrel, literally. And now Europe is at the beck and call of Russia. Russia is calling the shots. There are more new billionaires coming out of Russia than any other country in the world. It's just unbelievable what has happened just in a couple of years. Now, why do I say that? Because the prophecy of Ezekiel 38 and 39 tells us about Gog, the land of Magog, the chief prince of Meshach and Tubal. It talks about Iran, then called Persia, Libya, Gomer, which are the Germanic tribes, Togarma, which many experts believe refers to the area of Turkey, and many other nations with them that will conspire together or confederate to attack Israel secretly at the end of the age. The prophecy specifically said it will happen in the latter days, and the reason they will do it is to take a spoil. Now, what spoil is that likely to be? Oil. Right now, we see no oil in Israel. But look around the entire Middle East. All the other nations around seem to be completely invested with oil. Russia is invested with oil. Can you imagine what would happen, Stan, if Israel were suddenly to find a massive discovery of oil underneath its land? It would cause such an incredible upheaval in the Islamic world and in Russia that they would have to come together, to conspire together, to go in and grab that. Otherwise, it will completely divest them of their petrol control in the world. And so what we're seeing is the choreographing of events to explicitly match the prophecies of ancient scripture telling us that we need to be preparing the way of the Lord in our individual lives for history's final hour. That's the end result. It's not just about America and the American dream. It's not about even restoring the American vision. It's about becoming the people that God wants us to be to prepare the way of the Lord. We are in the final throes of world history before the second coming. And we need to start making some hard decisions about our lives. And Stan, that's one of the reasons why I wrote that book, Out of Egypt, an end-time message to the end-time church, preparing end-time trust for end-time trials, because the reality is, here we are in this most critical hour in world history, and the church is in its worst condition in this country in American history. We're woefully unprepared, and as you said, the apostasy is well underway.
Amen to that. And certainly when we find the leader of the 30 million man or member National Association of Evangelicals is a closeted homosexual drug user who's using his position to further the goals of the people he represents, and yet the Christians have no inkling of this at all. Certainly when we find, you know, in many of our Christian denominations, lesbian and, you know, ministers, even sometimes appointed to leadership positions in the church, and people just sort of take it, oh, well, gee, isn't that too bad? God is not going to be mocked, and everything we are doing is to mock him. I mean, this is the thing. The leaders of the evangelical movement are all going to Washington, D.C. to be patted on the tops of their heads and have their stomachs rubbed by the politicians, telling them to go along with the agenda of the current administration, and they succumb to the flattery, and I have yet to hear any major Christian leader in America speak out against the torture and the policies of deceit that have been used by our government in this war. There is no way a Christian minister could tolerate torture, and yet we hear no cry against it. There's slavery all throughout the world, in Saudi Arabia and in Kuwait and in Southeast Asia and many of the countries there. But, of course, nobody's really talking about that. We're really more interested in, well, you know, that building project or maybe, of course, who's going to win the NBA finals that are coming up here in the next few weeks. It's about time, I think, people got back to really realizing what's really important. And if we do not have another great awakening in this country, and I don't see any leadership here that is advocating that or doing anything to bring it about, if we don't have a great awakening, a third great awakening, and the people of this country turn back to God, then America, as we've known it, will soon become, I believe, simply a remembrance of things past.
Stan, I unfortunately, and I grieve in my heart to have to agree with you, I'm involved with church leaders all across the country and have been for many years. And what I see, unfortunately, there is no will for a moral and spiritual revival. Occasionally you'll hear a little talk about it, but the reality is that the pastors have become the guardians of the status quo. They don't want change, and they know that serious revival and spiritual awakening will produce significant change, and they don't want it because it will upset the apple cart. So they'll occasionally embrace the rhetoric of it, but when it comes to reality, they don't want it because it just will bring change. It's very much like what Jesus faced with the religious leaders of his day, who claimed to know the Bible from cover to cover, but their hearts, their lips, sounded like they were, following the Lord, but as Jesus said, their hearts were far from him. And so Jesus rebuked them. In fact, it was the religious rite of his day that got the most excoriating rebuke from him. You can find that in Matthew chapter 23. He called them whited sepulchers. He called them full of dead men's bones. And unfortunately, that's where we are ending up right now, even as we approach a National Day of Prayer, the first Thursday of May. It grieves me to realize that we really don't really want, even as we have a National Day of Prayer, we really don't want moral and spiritual revival, because it will bring such massive change in our lives, and we feel that it will threaten our power, perks, and position in our churches. Pastors feel that. Even parachurch leaders feel that. And they cannot and will not put at risk the flow of the dollars from their donors. And so even these ministries will not tell the people the truth. They won't tell them the truth about their marriages. They won't tell them that God hates divorce. They won't tell them that Jesus himself said that anyone who divorces their spouse causes their spouse to commit adultery, and whoever marries the one so divorced commits adultery. They won't tell them that. They won't tell them that the great apostle Paul stated that anyone, that a woman is bound to her husband as long as he lives, and only if he dies is she free to remarry, and then only if he's a true believer. They won't tell their people that. No, they'll only tell them God wants you happy. God says, I want you holy, be ye holy. We say, be ye happy, and now we're neither happy nor holy. It's almost as if there is almost an unwritten conspiracy within the evangelical community to hide from the truth of God's word in order so we can all just get along and have your best life now. As the most popular book from the pastor of the largest evangelical congregation in the nation has said, both he and Oprah Winfrey are preaching your best life now. Whatever happened to preparing for eternity? It's almost as if it doesn't compute anymore, Stan.
Well, I think that there are a lot of people really who already don't feel like there is a hereafter, or if there is, why it really isn't going to apply to them. And they certainly don't believe that there's going to be a day of judgment for the things we've done here on earth. And, of course, as I said on our previous programs, what a crazy world we live in, where here an ex-attorney and an ex-orthopedic surgeon are using the vehicle, a wonderful vehicle of radio, to try to call people to repentance, and our ministers are avoiding that subject like the plague.
Stan, you have offered from time to time through your ministry a number of the books that I have written, and I've been so grateful for that. But I think these are so appropriate for this time in which we live.
Why don't you just give the names of those, because we carry you out of Egypt and then Renewing the Soul of America. We think they're so important.
Yeah. Renewing the Soul of America was endorsed by 38 national Christian leaders. They saw that it was a very unusual book, very different than anything that had ever been out. It was not your usual culture war book. It wasn't a finger-pointing book, pointing the finger at the liberals, the abortionists, homosexuals, Slick Willie in the White House, or whatever. But this time, it was a book looking at us individually and seeing what God would want to do in our lives individually to make a profound difference, to be and become the people and the nation that God would have us to be. 38 national Christian leaders endorsed that book. And then, in addition to that, you talked about the book Out of Egypt. Over 400 times, from Genesis to Revelation, one can find the words out of Egypt or similar words, Stan. This is the overarching theme of the entire Bible. And Abraham, the great father of the faith, had to come out of Egypt before Israel ever went into Egypt. Moses, the great deliverer, had to come out of Egypt. It took God 40 years to get enough Egypt out of him to make him useful in the kingdom. He sent Moses then back into Egypt to lead his adopted son Israel out. It took God 40 years to get enough Egypt out of them to allow only 2 out of 600,000 men, who had the covenant seed of Abraham, all heirs according to the promise, to enter into the promised land. Only 2 were allowed in. And then we find that Jesus, the Lord of the church, had to come out of Egypt, as it is written, out of Egypt have I called my son. And the prophet Zechariah says, in the last days God will again call his son out of Egypt, that the scepter of Egypt will once and forever depart from God's people. So here we have a time in history, right on the near edge of the second coming, when our faith is at its lowest ebb, and we desperately need, Stan, to have our trust quotient rebuilt. And that's what this book does.
Well,
build an end-time trust for end-time trials.
I want you to get out your website and, of course, how people can get in touch with your minister and listen to it because we're just about out of time. So let's get your website out. How can they listen to your programs?
No, the website is saveus.org. That's www.saveus.org. And then we also have a phone number if you want to get a hold of us there, 1-800-SAVE-USA. That's 1-800-SAVE-USA. Again, the website, saveus.org.
And, of course, these are really wonderful books, Renewing the Soul of America and Out of Egypt. We recommend them, and if you'd like to learn more about them, you can contact your Pastor Chris Myers ministry or give us a call at 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY. And we'll be back here in just a moment here. I should say, I'm sorry, 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. We'll be back here in just a moment to wrap up tonight's program. Well, we have one of our guests, one of our callers has just dropped off the line. I was going to take Herman's call, but I guess we'll... So you've got about 3 minutes then to wrap up the program.
Stan, this is a crucial moment, and I trust that your listeners also have sensed the solemnity of this conversation. This has kind of been a freewheeling, off-the-heart conversation. We've touched three or four different main issues here, but the reality is that we are at the moment in time that all history has waited for. All of the entire earth is virtually convulsing in preparation for the events of the Second Coming, and we are woefully unprepared. On our radio program regularly, as we close out the program, I say we are preparing the way of the Lord for history's final hour. Are you ready? People, get ready. Jesus is coming. Soon we'll be coming home. It's not about getting Susie to her ballet lesson. It's not about getting Johnny to a soccer game anymore. It's about getting people ready. I want to urge Stan, husbands, to take the lead with their wives. I want to urge dads to take the lead in their homes, to take seriously the preparation of their families. Build an ark, friend. Save your sons and your daughters. Build an ark. Just Jesus said, as it was in the days of Noah, so it will be just before the Second Coming. You've got to build an ark of faith for your family. One way you can do it is through that book, Out of Egypt. It's an end-time message to the end-time church, building end-time trust for end-time trials. Another thing you can do is get our book, The Power of Hospitality. The Apostle Peter said, the end of all things is at hand. Therefore, use hospitality. You get that book, and it'll change your life. It'll orient you to practical things that you can do to make a difference, to prepare the way of the Lord for your family. This is the moment of truth. We're in the valley of decision, Stan, and we dare not take this moment casually.
Amen to that. Well, I think that the one message we can get out is to warn people, to tell them they have to prepare. And, of course, as we move into a period, what I believe will be a period of chaos and crisis, where we hope, of course, that the remnant that we're talking to will be prepared, and perhaps they, in turn, will be able to reach others. Chuck, thanks so very much for being with us. It's always a pleasure.
It has been a pleasure here, Stan. God bless you and your listeners.
Well, this is Dr. Stan. I hope you enjoyed our conversation with Chuck Chris Meyer, who I am very proud to be associated with and affiliated with and be able to call a friend. His books, Out of Egypt, Renewing the Soul of America, are both available through Radio Liberty. They are must reading for times like this because I believe, as Pastor Chris Meyer does, that we are on the verge of cataclysmic times. There is going to be a war in the Middle East, sometime in the next coming months. How soon, I'm not certain, but certainly we are going to see dramatic changes. And, of course, America's forces are there in the Middle East. And, of course, if there is a war, why the 140, 150, 160,000 troops we have over there, the aircraft carriers we have over there, the support ships we have, because they'll be sacrificed in a terrible, terrible cataclysmic event. So understand that we are at a very important part in time in history, and you and your family have to be prepared. The books, again, Out of Egypt and Renewing the Soul of America, and, of course, our telephone number, 1-800-544-8927, if you'd like more information. And then, of course, I would mention to put things into their spiritual perspective. And, of course, I don't do anywhere as well as Chuck does. But if you'd like to know why we are really in Afghanistan and Iran, and why our leaders are planning to attack Iran, which just doesn't make any sense, let me suggest my February newsletter. And if you'd like a free copy, we'd be glad to send you one. You can find it on the Internet, though. If you can have access to the Internet, just go to RadioLiberty.com and pull down my February 2007 newsletter. It will give you tremendous insight into the spiritual forces working behind the scenes, guiding, forcing, molding America into the position where we are today. And then, of course, if you have not yet heard my talk, Brotherhood of Darkness, or the new DVD, The Forbidden Secret, why they're available, and if you want more information on how to get them, our number 1-800-544-8927, 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. For those people who do not believe that there is another dimension, a spiritual dimension to everything going on in life, why, of course, Chris Pinto's excellent DVDs, The Secret Mysteries of America's Beginning, and Riddles in Stone. And then Pastor Joe Schimmel's DVDs and or videos, They Sold Their Souls for Rock and Roll, the 3-hour, the 4-hour, the 10-hour version. And why is that important? Well, of course, it's talking about the music industry, that many people in the music industry have actually sold their souls to the devil. They have an agreement. And, of course, they are having great prosperity and great wealth and great fame here in this earth. But the day of reckoning is coming. It's not only coming for them, it's coming for all of us. And we are going to have to one day stand, before our Lord in judgment. The Masons are going to stand before the great white throne of judgment. That's part of their religious belief, not knowing that that is the judgment of the damned. And unfortunately, so many of the people in the alternative religions of today, the New Age movement and their affiliated organizations, will be standing before that same great white throne of judgment, where no Christian will have to stand. Well, we are involved in a spiritual battle. Most people aren't aware of that fact, but we certainly hope that the listeners to our programs understand. And we are moving rapidly towards the climax in history, as Pastor Chris Meyer was saying so well. So we ask you, of course, to pray for America. We ask you to pray for revival, although it's not going to come until things get terribly, terribly bad, and maybe it won't even come then, but we can pray for it, and maybe we can at least have an impact on other people's lives. We ask you to pray for our leaders and ministers. Please pray for Radio Liberty, for our provision, and for our protection. And so we'll be back here in just a couple of moments for the next hour here at Radio Liberty. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story. Those of you who heard our last hour with Pastor Chuck Crismeyer, if you would like to get a copy of that program, and I think it was a very important program. I think it settled a great deal that needed to be said, and if you'd be interested in getting that and listening to it and sharing it with your friends, and incidentally you have our permission to copy any of the programs that you get from us or that you hear here and distribute them, because we're here for one reason and one reason alone, and that is, of course, to educate people and hopefully to bring them closer to our Lord. But under any circumstances, if you'd like to perhaps get a copy of that program, give us a call at 1-800-544-8927, 1-800-544-8927. And now, certainly on a different subject, and yet all of these subjects are intertwined, whether it be health and the various means that are being utilized to prevent the American people from taking good care of their health, to finance, and of course there is a spiritual component to even what's going on here in the economic field, and certainly the stock market keeps going up as if there is no tomorrow. The good times continue rolling, and yet, of course, as we're looking at what's going on, we find out that just today, Toyota became the primary car producer in the world. General Motors, traditionally the backbone, the very foundation of America's automotive industry, has dropped to second place, and none of this is happening by accident. Those of you who have heard our four-tape set on the New Order of the Barbarians will realize that back in 1969, this was all planned. Everything going on today is scripted, and if you have not yet heard that four-tape set called The New Order of the Barbarians, where in 1969 they told how the center of industrial production would be shifted to the Orient, and specifically Japanese cars would exceed sales of American cars, and they would certainly design their cars better, because they wanted, of course, to destroy the American automotive industry. 1969, you need to get our four-tape set, The New Order of the Barbarians. Well, hello, Melody. How are you doing tonight?
Good evening, Dr. Stan. I'm doing just fine, thank you.
Well, what do you think of that market? Is that ever going to stop going up? My goodness, I never saw anything like that.
Well, it has its ups and downs, but certainly the long term for gold is still very positive. And, you know, the fundamentals behind gold have never been any stronger. They continue to get stronger. But you just see the minor manipulations anymore, because their ability to manipulate gold anymore just doesn't have the impact that they had maybe 5-6 years ago. So we'll see little pullbacks here and there, but that's a good thing, because it allows people to add more gold and they can save a little bit of money while they're doing that. So gold is still online. The predictions are coming out again, to where you hear all kinds of estimates, and I prefer to get to one step at a time to see where we're going. But keeping up with inflation, there's predictions from longtime economists ranging anywhere from 1650 to 2250 just for inflation.
Okay, so what's really so interesting is, of course, we see the stock market going up. We see the dollar dropping, as you see the price of oil going up. Of course, the government insists there's no inflation, but over the last couple of months, the price of gasoline's gone up probably 50 to 75 cents a gallon, but we want you to know that there is no inflation. I mean, are you going to believe your lying eyes? You're going to believe what the government tells you? Well, I think an awful lot of people believe what the government tells them. After all, there's no inflation. There's no inflation. There's nothing to worry about. Let the good times roll. But I fear that we're in for some very big surprises in the near future. Well, the dollar drop has really been rather dramatic here. Where did it end up, Chevy? Do you have any idea where it's been the last few days?
It's running around 81.30, 81.35. And that's what told me today there was major manipulation in gold today, because the dollar was down. Even though we had crude oil drop up over $1.30 today, and the newsletter articles indicate that that's why gold fell, was because oil fell, but I believe it was major manipulation, because with that dollar being down as much as it was today, I think we'll see gold should be up tomorrow, either tomorrow or the next day, but they want the Dow at 13,000, and they're going to do everything to get it there, although it's just meaningless. The Dow at 13,000 is meaningless, because even at 13,000, it hasn't kept up with the rate of inflation. So if you take in effect the rate of inflation, people have lost money if they had money in the Dow or even the NASDAQ, because it hasn't kept up with inflation. The only items that kept up with inflation that's real money has been gold and silver.
And, of course, the real tragedy of what's going on in the world today is that we are being constantly manipulated. The Dow Jones is used to influence our perception. It's sort of like when you go to the airport and you have to go through this whole rigmarole as far as, you know, checking for terrorism. I mean, there is no threat of terrorism here domestically. If there were, certainly with our borders open, we would have had at least some major terrorist attacks. You know, since 2001, we don't see them. So what we see at the airport is simply smoke and mirrors. And what we see with the Dow Jones is smoke and mirrors. When the market is up, people feel good. When the market is down, they feel bad. And they want people to feel good, at least for the time being. This is my impression. What about yours?
Oh, I agree. And, you know, there's a lot of people out there that even though the Dow is approaching 13,000, they might be thinking, well, my portfolio doesn't show that I'm making anything. But, again, it's just a perception. And prior to the program, I went on to a website, Jim Sinclair. He's been in the business for a very long time, same length as Bob Chapman. And on his website, someone sent him, it was a Dutch magazine. And what it is, it's Femme Business, F-E-M Business. And on their cover is a picture of George Washington with an oxygen mask on him. And it basically is translated into the era of the dollar is over. So around the world knows what is happening to the dollar. They've seen currency.
Hold on. So we'll be back in just a moment here, Melody. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and Melody was just talking about going to one of the websites and seeing a picture there of a magazine where they have George Washington wearing a gas mask with a caption that the day of the dollar is over. And I really believe that's true. America's the greatest debtor nation in the world today. Just a few years ago, we were the greatest creditor nation. I mean, they're selling off, you know, the Chicago Skyway and the Ohio Turnpike and the New Jersey Turnpike, and we're selling off the infrastructure of our society simply so that we can keep up with the debts of the various states. I mean, the property that's been bought and paid for, the thoroughfares, bought and paid for by the taxpayers, are now going to become toll roads that are going to, of course, be used to finance and reward the corporations holding dollars that are from other countries that are buying up the infrastructure of our nation. And this is all carefully planned. America is moving from a first world nation to a second world nation. Our manufacturing, certainly, China has become the primary exporter of goods in the world today. They've just recently passed the United States, which up until recently was the primary exporter of goods, even though we've lost 3.5 manufacturing jobs, and we only have 20 million manufacturing jobs still left. Those will soon be leaving America because there's no way we can continue to manufacture in competition with China. And step by step, little by little, increment by increment, they're moving to destroy the economic foundation of America. People don't understand this, but it's happening not by accident, but by intent, because there are people in positions of power whose loyalty is not to the United States, but to this globalist vision of a new world order, a new world religion, a new world leader. So certainly the gold is actually moving up. Silver is moving up nicely. The two of them are all manipulated. But the thing is that they're not actually increasing in value. It is simply that the dollar is losing value. And that, of course, is the real secret. Now, the goal should be, as Melody was saying, somewhere between 1,600 and 2,000 just to keep up with inflation. And it will be there one of these days soon, don't you anticipate?
Oh, absolutely. I think one day we'll look at gold 2,000, and it's just going to be the norm. It's going to be the normal price of gold. And when you really think about the dollar and really how much it has lost, and as long as our currency is not backed by gold, inflation will remain. And inflation is going to continue to rise. I mean, we have factory jobs. We have 3 million jobs lost since 2000, with in the 40 million more predicted to be lost in the upcoming years. I mean, we have gasoline approaching $4 and $5 a gallon. And we have corn prices are rising, food prices are rising, everything is rising. And I saw today where the grocery bills, I mean, eggs have increased from last year, I believe it was like 30%.
Most people, that would be because of the brilliant situation. Our leaders decided that the way to solve the problem of dependency on Arab oil was, of course, ethanol. And so we subsidized the production of ethanol because you couldn't produce it economically feasibly. So we subsidized the production of ethanol. Of course, that then takes up about a third of the corn crop. And, of course, then the price of corn goes up. The price then of the grain used to feed our cattle goes up. The price of milk goes up. The price of cheese goes up. The price of poultry goes up. The price of eggs goes up. And but they insist that there's no inflation. Are you going to believe us? You're going to believe your lying eyes. And when will the American people understand that they're not being told the truth? And, of course, we are going to be impoverished as the price of food and gasoline and all of the basic essentials continues rising. They tell us prices aren't going up, and then they tell us that the price of health care is going up 10% a year, but and then they say, but we don't include that in the inflation. In fact, I'm not quite sure what they use when they determine inflation. I think it's anything that doesn't go up, they put that in the inflation index. Anything that does go up, they totally ignore it. Is it something like that, Melody?
Oh, they pick and choose, and they make their own equations in order to to keep the inflation numbers down. And but it is amazing the prices of things rising, and people, they have no savings. I mean, the United States is in a negative savings. And when we talk about the corn crops for ethanol, I've read what it's been 2 years. I mean, we import more agriculture than we export. And you wonder how long this has been planned because, I mean, there were subsidies, I don't know if they're still on, to pay farmers not to grow. And so you wonder how this was all planned out to get to the point where we're at also. But we import more than we export in agriculture. And, I mean that is an amazing fact. And so prices are just going to continue to rise. And people are living on credit cards. They don't have any savings. And when we talk about purchasing gold, yes, it's an investment, but it is also a savings account. I don't know how many people tell me that if they hadn't bought gold, they probably would have spent their funds on one item or on something, you know, whether it had been for the home or whatever, they probably would have spent it. So gold and silver is a great savings account, and it's a great way to encourage your family members or your children to begin a savings account. And because it will certainly be needed in the very near future, and we will continue to have inflation. Well, there was a we often talk about that a baby that is born in the U.S. that they automatically owe $30,000, and the comptroller, General David Walker, says that the unfunded liabilities now exceed $50 trillion. So if we add that debt to the liabilities now, every man, woman, and child in the U.S. is owing something like $194,000. And that's the condition of our economy and the status of each individual in this country. And it's it's amazing numbers when you think about it. They're not going to go away.
And, of course, there's no way. There's no way in the world that they're going to be able to continue to pay off the pensions and provide the health care and the medical benefits that they promise our elderly citizens. And this is true of the state pension funds, which, of course, have been blackmailed into giving state employees, much higher pensions and benefits than you would get in the private sector. But the thing is that the states don't have the money. And if when they start looking at things from a sound actuarial point of view, whether it be in California or in most states of the union, I know New Jersey's in real trouble. That's why they're going to have to sell off the New Jersey Turnpike. Mm-hmm. Just, of course, to hope at least for a year or two to be able to keep their pension funds viable. But what happens, of course, when those years are gone by and they've got all the pension debts that they have to pay, and then they have nothing else to sell off? I mean, after you've sold off the New Jersey Turnpike and the Chicago Skyway and the Ohio Turnpikes and our bridges and our dams and our streets, then what do you sell? And what people don't understand is, debt is a terrible thing. And, of course, it is those, of course, who are the lenders, who are the masters. And there was an old, I'm not sure which one of Shakespeare's plays it was, but the old adage, neither a borrower nor a lender be. But if you're going to be one, you're far better off to be a lender than you are to be a borrower, that's for sure. And America is the greatest borrower in the world has ever seen, as far as being a nation. Well, Melody, what are you hearing from your customers?
Well, I hear concerns, but they're sort of laid back. They understand what's going on, and they continue to add to their portfolios. But there isn't an urgency. There's no. I believe when things seem quiet, they too become under the influence of the Dow staying where it's at, feeling that everything is under control. There hasn't been any combat with Iran. There hasn't been any conflict that is reported or that we can see, even though there might be internal conditions or sanctions against them. So I believe people are sort of taking a breather. I know a lot of them were, we just got through the tax season. So I think, and of course we've also had good weather. So everybody's readjusting to what is happening to the gold market. A lot of them, unfortunately, have to sell. I've had a lot of sellers.
Have you really? Are these the people who have had some financial setbacks or what?
Yes, various reasons like that, yes. Life happens, but it seemed like there was more sellers than usual this month. And so I would, I don't know if it was taxes. I usually ask, and, you never know if you're getting the whole story, and but there was a lot of sellers this month, which surprised me.
Well, I think gold is being accumulated all throughout the world. I think that many of the countries like Russia is beginning to actually increase their gold stores. Russia today is the largest oil exporter in the world, having surpassed Saudi Arabia. Russia is the largest exporter of natural gas. And, of course, all of Europe is dependent upon the Soviet Union. Why? Why? Because America and American banks and American corporations built the pipelines that would force Europe to be dependent upon Russia for their supply of energy and natural gas. Why would we have done anything that foolish? Well, of course, you'll have to read my newsletters to find that out. That's what I covered last month, and we'll be covering again this month. Well, as we're watching and seeing what's happening throughout the world, one of my major concerns is that there is going to be a confrontation in the not-too-distant future, in the Persian Gulf between America and Iran. Now, I hope and pray that I'm wrong, but if there is a confrontation in the Persian Gulf, my fear is that certainly the price of oil could increase significantly, and we're talking probably $80 to $100 a barrel. Do you think that's possible, Melody, or is this a little out on the fringe?
No, not at all. I think it's a very real scenario, and $80 to $100, that could possibly be on the low side. I don't believe they will allow oil to go any lower than what it has. They like a high oil. People are making money. They're making lots of money in the gasoline prices. That's one way to strip the American people of their money. I mean, we had some of the lowest gasoline prices around the world. You hear about prices being quoted for gasoline. I guess up in Canada, they're, $5, $6. You hear in various places that, they're $4. And so I think our gasoline prices will also rise to that level.
And I think that one of the things is that there really are people like the Al Gores of the world and the Prince Charleses of the world and the elite of the world who want the American people to limit their consumption of carbon products, carbon dioxide-producing products. And, of course, you can't ration gasoline, but, of course, you can get the people to ration it to themselves. And you do that by raising the prices. You do the same thing as far as electricity. You want, of course, to get them to use less electricity under the guise of running out of electricity while you raise the price of electricity. Now, of course, we're not really running out of electricity any more than there's any shortages of oil. The world is awash with oil, but, of course, if you told the American people that, they might be resentful of paying, $3.50 a gallon for gas. And, of course, when it goes to $5, $6, $7 a gallon, they'd be really up in arms. So you cannot let them know the truth about what's going on. Oh, it's those wicked Iranians. It's the wicked Osama bin Laden. It's the wicked President Ahmadinejad of Iran. They're the ones who are responsible. This is why you're going to have to start cutting back on your use of gasoline, and of course your automobile. But I really think that this is what's planned. It's going to be very interesting to see if I'm right, and of course I hope that I'm wrong, but everything in my estimation points in the direction that we are going into a conflict, a much larger conflict in the Middle East, and that we're right now everything is being prepared for this conflict, which I believe is going to take the United States into a class of civilizations. And of course I very much fear that when this takes place, why, of course, we're going to be standing alone. And if America stands against the whole Islamic world, and especially if we're having financial difficulties, and if we were to lose 50 or 100,000 soldiers in the Middle East, if we were to lose a couple of our major aircraft carriers, it could have a profound impact on the prestige of America, but even more than that, on the stability of our economy, and, of course, the position of reserve currency of the world. And if we lose that, why, we are in real trouble. We'll be right back with Melody. Well, this is Dr. Stan. I guess this is Melody Cedarstrom. If you're out there in the listening audience and you have a question on what's happening economically, we'd love to hear from you. Our number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. And the fact that, as Melody points out, that a fair number of people have been selling this last month, that is suggests that some of the people that have been investing in gold and silver are beginning to have some economic problems. And I think that an awful lot of people are going to begin having economic problems as the economy begins to contract, as the housing market turns down. Certainly is. Even though the Dow Jones may be up, I think many of the stocks are not doing well at all. And, of course, inflation is much higher than we're being told. Unemployment is much higher than we're being told. The Federal Reserve System refuses to print the M3 figures because they don't want you to understand that true inflation is actually well over 10%. Remember, inflation has nothing to do with the price of goods. The price of goods reflects inflation. Inflation reflects the actual amount of money and credit in circulation, and of course they're increasing that, not only here in the United States, but throughout the world like a drunken soldier, just our sailors just coming into port. So, you know, when you have a 10% inflation rate, it doesn't take very long before the value of the currency is progressively eroded. And our producer has noted that inflation is much higher than the January of 1980, when at that time gold peaked at $850 per ounce and silver was $50 an ounce. How would you comment on that? In other words, inflation was much higher then, and of course gold and silver moved very, very strongly up there in 1980.
Well, I think the big rise in silver didn't have the strong fundamentals behind it like it does today. And I really don't think you can even compare what's happening today what happened at that point in time. The gold market was a relative new market among the people because, you know, there weren't that many products around. The only thing available was pretty much bars, you know, the old 90% on the silver and, you know, the old coinage, but it hadn't grown to the extent and the communications then aren't quite the same as it is today with the 24-hour QVC pushing gold products. You know, and around the world, instant purchasing of gold products. So I think today is totally different than what it was then. And you really have to look at gold as, I really believe, a long-term hedge against inflation. I mean, you can't look at gold and see an instant response to any one item. I mean, the Dow could drop 100 points, 500 points, and you might not see an instant response by gold, but over time you will see where gold protects your purchasing power against the ravages of inflation and, you know, economic turmoil. So that's the key to gold, is holding it long term. And I believe when people sold this month, a lot of them did have economic problems, but there were a few that were influenced to sell their gold for other investments. And that is probably the worst thing that you can do with your gold investment. I mean, if you have an urge to invest in another investment, you should use new money, disposable income. You purchase gold for a reason, to protect your purchasing power. So why would you want to sell that to invest in something that carries a higher risk? But the enticement of double-digit returns and your gold, we hit 720 last year and this year it's only 690, it's easy to succumb to their sales pressures and sell your gold for other investments. So please don't do that because I don't think there's any other investment at this point in time that can do what gold will do for you.
Well, I guess remember that back in 1979, 1980, we had just taken the dollar off the gold standard in August of 1971. We'd had the inflation from the Vietnam War, and inflation was really running in 16-18%, and they had to get, of course, the interest rates up to 21%. This make money totally unavailable. I think gold went up at that time because people were concerned we were going to lose the dollar. Well, they did the right thing. They saved the dollar, but will they have the courage to do it again? We'll be right back in a moment. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty. Our guest is Melody Cedarstrom. My telephone number is 888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY. Or here in the Central Coast of California at 464-8295. If you have a question or comment, you agree or disagree, we'd love to hear from you. And, of course, certainly we know that the price of gold and silver had been totally manipulated for many years. It had been kept artificially at about at $42 an ounce. Well, then, of course, when the gold was released from that artificial barrier and people could trade gold, and then, of course, faced with a rapid inflation there in January of 1980, why, it's not surprising it went up to 800, but it was much higher than it should have gone. And the people who were unfortunate enough to have been moved emotionally to buy gold at $800, well, and they've held it all this time, they certainly lost money. So you do not want to act emotionally in any of these markets. And the last thing you want to do is get into a market when it's beginning to run and when everybody else is buying. Would you agree with that, Melody?
Oh, absolutely. And you have to remember that gold is there to protect your purchasing power. And so if you look at it if you have to make any adjustments to your portfolio, check around and talk to somebody about these other investments that, they're trying to talk to you about. You can give me a call. And what I usually do if my clients call me and talk to me about an investment, I mean, I'm there, I'm the sounding board, and I will raise questions and let them answer, and they'll eventually see that, well, gee, maybe I just don't want to do that at this point in time because there's no gains. There aren't any gains. And I'm sure there's some investments out there. I mean, you can look at uranium. You can look at there's a few other items in which, there's still strong possibilities that they'll rise. But a lot of the big money has already been made in them, and that's when – once the big money is made in a lot of these investments, that's when everybody gets on the bandwagon, and then it's too late. Sure, you can make a little, but the big money's made. I mean, just like the euro, people should have been buying the euro when it was 88. But when did people start getting into the market? When it was 125. So the big money was made, and sure, it went from 125 to, 136, 137, somewhere around in there. But you made a little bit of money, but the killing was from 88. So that's what happens with so many investments. Well, gold is still where you could make the big killing in this investment in gold and silver.
Hold that all right there, Melody. We'll be back in just a moment. Well, this is Dr. Stan. Our guest is Melody Cedarstrom. Melody, would you like to get your telephone number out? Would you like to get your website out so people, if they'd like to get in touch with you, can?
The toll-free number is 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. The website is discountgoldandsilvertrading.net. And make sure you spell out AND, Discount Gold and Silver Trading.net. And if anybody would like to email me, they can use discountgoldandsilver@yahoo.com. discountgoldandsilver@yahoo.com.
All right, fine. Well, if you're out there in the listening audience and you agree, you disagree, you have a question for Melody, our number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. And, of course, we'd love to hear from you and get your thoughts on what is happening financially to our nation. Well, certainly as you look at the jobs that are coming up, we find that, for instance, a Circuit City was going to lay off 3,000 or 4,000 people who were getting $11 an hour and then give them a chance to get the jobs back at $8 an hour as a cost-cutting mechanism. We know that Citicorp, one of our major banks, was planning on laying off 10,000 or 20,000 people here. But so many of these jobs can be just as easily done over in India and, of course, in communication electronically. Why, it's just like the people who are working in this country. The only trouble is that in India they can hire them for a third or a quarter of what they can hire them for here. Increasingly, they're bringing people in from other countries who are well-trained in engineering and electronics and computer design and things of that sort. And little by little, the living standards, the salaries of American workers are aggressively decreasing. Now, you know, if you've got a nice government job, you're probably not aware of what's really going on. But believe me, down the line, there's going to have to be a lot of layoffs in government, because government is not going to be able to continue providing everything for everybody indefinitely. That's just not the way the game works. But certainly for the housing industry, well, what do you see in the housing industry? Has it begun to cut back at all there where you are, Melody?
No, it's still the same. You know, you still see big buildings being built, and, you know, they might be on the market a month long and maybe a little bit of a pullback in the prices, but we haven't had the impact like so many areas around this country. And I hear from clients around this country that there are other areas, but it'll eventually filter through. I have no doubt that it will continue to get worse, and we really haven't seen anything yet. And it takes a while for these things to filter through the economy and be purged and to see the true effects of what's really happening. I mean, we see, foreclosures, increasing, most of foreclosures, in 15, 20 years, and that'll continue to get worse. And you were talking about the unemployment. Well, the outplacement service, the firm Challenger Gray and Christmas, mentioned today that the media companies, they're, for the first quarter of this year, they announced 4,300, almost 4,400 layoffs, and that's up 93% from last year of the first 3 months. And so, I mean, that's an incredible increase, 93% compared to last year. And so, you know, these people, there aren't any jobs to go to. And so, you know, you will have your, you know, this will affect the housing market. They can't pay their increase mortgage payments anymore. And you're going to continue to see home sales slide. And confidence, it will affect the confidence. And if you, our whole dollar is based on confidence. I mean, there isn't anything backing the dollar but confidence. And when you see the, when people are affected, they lose the confidence, and that will affect the economy.
I think the biggest thing, of course, is if the dollar ceases to be the reserve currency, then all of these countries that are hanging on to dollars will certainly want to get rid of them and get on into euros or some other currency that, of course, will have the stability. And especially, if the people in the countries like China and Japan had been in the euro, why they would have made about 40% on their investment just holding euros over dollars. So these countries have lost from about 120 or 125, which was the value of the dollar a couple of years ago in reference to the basket of currencies, and today the dollar is about 81. So it's gone from 125 to 81. So it had almost a third drop of in its value. Now, eventually, countries and even individuals who are holding American stocks and bonds are going to say, we've got to get out of these. You know, we've already taken a bath, but if we stay in them, we're going to lose even more. And so as these countries begin to want to get out of the dollar, what are they going to do with it? Well, the one thing they can do is come in and buy things here in America because they're so cheap, and they are buying up corporations. Over 25% of the at one time traditional American corporations like Westinghouse and so many of the others have been simply purchased, and they're no longer American corporations. So many of our food chains are owned by major corporations in other countries. Certainly this tremendous program that they have to build the Trans-NAFTA Highway being funded out of Australia, being funded out of Spain. Other countries are coming in and simply buying up the infrastructure of our nation, and the average individual has no idea what's going on. This is the unfortunate situation. And, of course, little bit by little bit, it happens in such slow increments that most people don't recognize what's happening. unless, of course, the other person has lost their job and had to take a job that pays less and with less benefits, and of course, but we're going to see, as part of a well-organized, orchestrated plan, the gradual lowering of the living standards of the American people. And even though you might maintain the same $11, $12, $13, $15 an hour income that you have, as the price of everything increases and you maintain that same amount of salary, why, of course, your purchasing power will progressively decline. And I really think that one day the American people will awaken to find that they've been impoverished. The nation looks like it's just the same, but it isn't. It has changed forever. Part of a long-range plan to lower the living standards of the American people, because the leaders of both of our political parties are dedicated to the destruction of the national sovereignty of America, the building of a North American community, the establishment eventually of a new world order, a new world religion, with a new world ruler. Well, certainly, Melody, is there any of the things that you're noticing now? We've talked about the housing bubble, which seems to be gradually deflating, not panic yet, but certainly increasing in the way of foreclosures, taking longer in some places to sell homes. I know here where I live, well, I think the price of homes is still going up a little bit, but nowhere near as much as it was. I mean, we were having 10, 20% a year increase in the value of homes, and those days seem to be gone forever pretty well.
Yes, I think they are gone, and I believe the American people are beginning to wake up. I believe there's a lot of pressures put on these people. You can see it the way people treat one another. You can hear it when you're calling. If you're lucky enough to get someone here in the States that's working at a service desk, you know, if you do talk to them, no one is nice anymore, you know. There's a lot of stress in people's voices, and I think you see it in a lot of the statistics, you know, through divorce, through the violence in this country, the abuse in this country, our children. And as we see these pressures, you know, we have more influence coming from, you know, governmental structure. And so I think all these things, we're seeing the gradual changes, and you're right, of this country turning into, our living standards are being lowered. And so I see these gradual changes, and it will continue. And, I feel optimistic when you have people like Ron Paul. I saw him on Lou Dobbs, I believe it was yesterday it was, and Lou Dobbs offered a two-minute segment for all the politicians running for president, and, you know, he was the only one that responded, and he did a great job. And so, I mean, he can give us a little bit of hope, but I believe, I know Bob Chapman talks of tariffs, and but I guess I'm just not as optimistic, and I believe those are solutions, but I just don't believe that the people in Congress and in Washington are strong enough in order to do what needs to be done to change things. And certainly if Ron Paul by chance would be elected, he'd certainly have a battle on his hands.
Well, of course, I was really a little dismayed. I went to a California Republican Assembly meeting this last weekend, and this is the conservative wing of the Republican Party here in California. And they invited a number of the presidential candidates to come and speak, and to my knowledge, the only one who actually came was Ron Paul. So I really thought that when they had a straw poll for who would the bulwark of conservative Republicans, and these are not the middle of line Republicans, the Schwarzenegger Republicans, the Rhinos, the Republicans in name only. These are the bedrock conservative Republicans. Who do you think are the number one candidate collected by the conservative Republicans was overwhelmingly? Who do you think they chose overwhelmingly to run for the president?
I don't know.
Fred Thompson. He got about 40 votes. The next down the line was a tie between Duncan Hunter and Mitt Romney. And then, of course, you got down. And Sidney, Ron Paul, I think, got 18 votes, and the others were getting 25. And Sidney Fred Thompson is getting more. Here's a man who hasn't even declared that he's going to run. But what is his claim to fame? Why, he looks like a president. And he's an actor. He's, of course, been subsidized and financed by CBS. And one only has to look at the screen. When the CBS is up there in the right lower quadrant, you'll see the occult eye, the ancient symbol of the ancient mystery religions. What's it doing on the CBS screen? Why, they hide their emblems in plain sight. And they've been preparing Fred Thompson for this run for the presidency. And he's winning the straw polls, and he hasn't even admitted he's going to be running.
Well, I saw some sort of a poll. Well, now that you mention that, I saw some sort of a poll. I can't even remember what website, if it was on CNBC or CNN's the Financial News or whatever. But Fred Thompson had actually received the most votes in this poll, and I thought it. You know, I mean, you knew it had to have been a fixed poll, but. Didn't he also announce that he had cancer?
Yes, he said he had lymphoma, but it's actually in remission. So, and he's fine. He's all set and ready to. He's just waiting for the clarion call to run. Mm-hmm. And of course, I think he's just corrupt to the rest of them. He's
yes.
actually had a large campaign fund left over from when he was a senator. And of course, he had $500,000 of it. About $200,000 went to his son for managing the campaign fund and a little bit to charity and $15,000 or $20,000 to Republican candidates, and he just funneled all that money off to his son. That is total corruption, but then what would you expect from somebody who had been selected by the Republican establishment to run for the presidency? And, of course, he certainly, if you look at Giuliani, if you look at certainly in the Republican candidates now, certainly none of them are very attractive. Certainly Mitt Romney's rather a good-looking guy, but of course he's sort of a Johnny-come-lately to the conservative cause.
Mm-hmm.
And he says he's a great gun rights. He's been hunting all of his life. In fact, he's been hunting twice. And then, of course, you got Duncan Hunter, Tom Tancredo, who certainly have some conservative qualifications, but to me, the most reliable of all the candidates, Ron Paul, is not getting any mention at all. And when the conservative Republicans of the state of California put him in fourth place in a straw poll, you know we're in real trouble as a nation.
You know, when he was Lou Dobbs, when he was announcing Ron Paul, you know, he sort of gave the even the attitude, well, he's the only one that showed up. So, you know, and then, but Ron Paul, he did an excellent job, I thought. And
he's a clear thinker. He's an intelligent individual. He's a
very
dedicated
much.
American. And besides, I'm a little prejudiced because he's a doctor, too. But he's a very, very brave man.
Yes, he is. And so I encourage the listeners to support him as much as you can.
All right, our telephone number again is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. If you have a question or comment, you agree or disagree, we'll have a few minutes more. We can take your questions here as we're talking about what's going on in America. And of course, right now, of course, the election, really it'll be pretty well decided by probably February of next year. Because as California goes, ordinarily, so goes the nation. And it certainly looks, at least California has almost as many electoral votes as any other state, and so many more than most of them. I think California, New York, Texas, maybe one or two other states. If you can win five or six states, you won the election, you got it all tied up. So it's going to be very interesting to see. I wish they had not moved California's election up, but I really think that they do not want there to be a long, drawn-out campaign, at least in the primary. I think that they want to be sure that we do not have a choice of a real conservative against a real liberal, that they want both political candidates controlled by the same people, certainly selected by the Bilderbergers and the Council on Foreign Relations, as they always do. And then we can go to the polls in November of next year and vote for the candidates the establishment selected for us. One will be a Republican, one will be a Democrat, and nothing will change. It's the oldest trick in the world. We go to the polls every 4 years to vote the rascals out of office, but the foreign and domestic policy always remains the same. Well, we'll be back. Melody, let's get your web page out just one more time.
The phone number is 800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. And the website is discountgoldandsilvertrading.net, discountgoldandsilvertrading.net.
All right, fine. We've got 3 minutes to wrap up the program.
3 minutes.
3 minutes to wrap up the program.
Well, any alternative to physical gold truly pale when you compare any investment to gold. And what I recommend to my clients, a minimum of 30 to 50% of your hard assets should be in gold and silver. If we were in a good economy, then you should be carrying 10%. But I don't believe the items that we talked about, anyone could agree that we're in a good economy. So you should carry 30 to 50% of hard assets in gold and silver. Many clients carry more than that. It's an individual decision where you feel comfortable with, but that should be a minimum. Of that, 80% should be in gold, 20% should be in silver. Then as you build your portfolio, after you have your foundation, then you can speculate if you want to add a little palladium or add different coins to you, speculative coins to your portfolio. You can do that, but the key is to get a balanced portfolio. And we do a great job at Discount Gold and Silver Trading. We take each client, we look at your investment objective and items that are suitable for you. And we help explain, we educate our clients with the different coins, how they perform. And sometimes you might pay a few dollars more for a coin, but the benefits are so much greater than maybe the $5 or $10 you might pay. We're always running different specials here at Discount Gold and Silver, so all you have to do is give us a call at 800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188.
All right, fine. Well, Melody, thank you very much for being with us. We'll look forward to talking to you again next month.
Thank you, sir.
Good night. God bless. Okay, fine. Well, it was Melody Cedar-Sterling. And certainly, we are living in unusual times, and certainly our suggestion is to people is learn what's really going on and then position yourself to try to be able to survive, at least to maintain some security. Unfortunately, when, of course, the currency of a nation is destroyed, then the stability of that nation is destroyed. And I really fear that most people, not understanding what's going on, imagine that the dollar is as sound as a dollar. And unfortunately, the dollar is no longer sound. And they've forgotten, certainly, what Daniel Webster said about certainly the greatest contrivance of all time is the misleading of the working man as far as the stability of paper currency is concerned. And, of course, he was suggesting it is a fraud. It is a fraud. Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, and of course this is the time when I need to remind our listeners that Radio Liberty is primarily listener-supported. We do hope that many of you out there will give serious consideration to joining the Radio Liberty family and helping us as we reach out 5 hours every single day across America trying to educate people about what is really going on, what's happening as far as our health is concerned, what's happening as far as our finances are concerned, what's happening politically, but most of all, what's happening spiritually. So if you'd like to know anything more about economics, let me suggest that my talk on the financial tsunami, with a syllabus that goes with that, and it's available in either video or DVD, is an excellent place to begin, an understanding of the organized effort to destroy the financial stability of our nation. And, of course, that's called the financial tsunami. And then, of course, the book, The Creature from Jekyll Island, is a classic. It's written by our good friend Ed Griffin. But it takes you into an understanding of the fact that money today is no longer based upon gold and silver. It's based upon debt. And if all the debt would disappear, all the money would disappear, which is why they can't let the debt disappear, and they have to keep us in debt as indentured slaves and indentured servitude. And then, of course, the book, The Federal Reserve Conspiracy, a little tiny book by Professor Sutton, who was a personal friend, written before he passed away. A book that was written by the president of Cornell, Arthur Dickinson White, probably well over 100 years ago, called Fiat Money Inflation in France. And it gives you an understanding of what happened in France in 1879 following the French Revolution, when they came up with the wonderful idea of producing prosperity by printing paper money. After all, if money is, if people having money and putting it into the economy would produce prosperity, the more money you produce, the more prosperity you produce. It should be quite logical, and that's what they tried. And as you read what happened at that time, and you begin to see the moral breakdown, the loss of values, everybody was getting rich fast, and then came the day of reckoning. Well, the same thing is, of course, happening today. All throughout the world, people are getting rich and getting very, very rich. But one day, of course, we have to face the piper. And, of course, he who pays the piper calls the tune. And the banks pay the piper. The banks create money out of nothing. And when, of course, they have to begin to contract the money supply, as they will have to eventually, sooner or later, either that or destroy the value of the currency entirely, why those people are in debt. We'll learn the other part of this whole scenario. So anyway, the little book that Fiat Money Inflation in France is, I believe, is very important. And then, of course, if you'd like to know anything about these books, why, our telephone number is 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. And then, of course, we do hope that many of you will certainly go to our website of RadioLiberty.com, where you can listen to our programs 3 hours a day there on the Internet. Archive programs are certainly available. Then, of course, our MP3 programs. You can listen to our programs actually on Global Star Section 4, 9 hours a day. They're played over and over again, along with Joyce Riley's programs, which are played for 9 hours a day. And then, of course, we hope that you will encourage others to listen to our programs, to join the Radio Liberty family of supporters, and you do that by calling 1-800-544-8927. And then we ask you to pray for America, to pray for a revival, because if we don't have a revival, why, I see very little hope of maintaining our nation. We ask you to pray for our leaders and our ministers, but please pray for Radio Liberty, for our provision and our protection. And so, until tomorrow, when we'll be with you again at the same time, Dr. Stan, good night, and may the Lord be with you.